So I'm going to talk for a very, very short time, you'll be pleased to hear this morning. But really, it's wonderful. I find it wonderful and encouraging listening to all of these things, that the stuff that people are doing, whether it's in Romania or locally in the community. But if you've been here for any period of time, you will know that our emphasis really, it is about doing stuff like that. That's great and we love it. But it is really about us as individuals being missionaries, if you like, wherever we find ourselves, whatever context we're in, whether that's in the workplace, at home, with our neighbours and our friends. It's about sharing the love of Christ in these various different situations, because being a missionary is not just for special people, it's for all of God's people. So that's our emphasis. So I just want to bring to you a few words this morning from these verses in John's Gospel. This is John's great version of the Great Commission, in a sense. These are the words that Jesus was speaking. Remember, this is the post-resurrection Jesus. On the evening of the first day, it says, and that's really significant in John's mind at least, because that's the first day of a new creation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ signaled the new thing that God was doing in the world through Jesus Christ. He was in the process of making all things new. And he began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the calling of these disciples and the commissioning of them to take this incredible news to the ends of the earth. When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, they were frightened. Jesus had been crucified. The Jews were busy persecuting, trying to root out this errant Jewish sect, these Christians who'd gone off the rails and followed this false Messiah. That was what their kind of mindset. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Often we can so often, can't we, when we're in a tight corner or feeling like things are not going so well, think that somehow God is absent. We can so often measure our spiritual health and the blessing of God on our lives by the fact that everything's going well, that our ducks are in a row, that everything's beer and skittles. But actually, if you read the Bible for just a short period of time, you'll realise that to be a God follower, to be a Jesus person, it doesn't inevitably mean that everything goes brilliantly and swimmingly. That's not necessarily the sign that God is with you. Of course, God blesses us. But what this story tells us, this account tells us, that in the midst of trouble, Jesus is with us. Jesus is there. So kind of wherever you're at this morning, I want to say that don't think that your difficult circumstances mean that somehow Jesus has disappeared. He's with you. And he comes to you to speak peace. But that's kind of worrying as well, isn't it, in the context of this story? Because when somebody comes to you and their opening gamut is peace to you, you think, oh no, what is about to come? I was perfectly fine until you said that. It's like, you know, when somebody walks up to you in church and says, "I just want to say this in love to you, brother." You think, oh no, what now? Don't say it. Don't say anything. Don't say it in love or otherwise. Just act as though you love me. You know, don't say it. Yeah, anyway. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." After that, he said this. He showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were convinced that it was Jesus risen from the grave. And folks, that is the absolute kernel for all of us here this morning, that conviction, really. We can kind of discuss loads of other stuff. But foundationally, what it means to be a Christian is that you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. I was talking to an older chap a while ago who was telling me a bit about his story. And he'd recently become a Christian 4 or 5 years ago, and he's probably he's just about 80 now. And his daughter is a vicar. And he was in his daughter's kitchen one day, and she said to him, "Dad, do you believe in the resurrection?" And he said, "I thought about it for a minute, and I looked at her, and I said, yeah, I think I do believe in the resurrection." He said, at that moment, the Holy Spirit fell on him, and he had this incredible experience of God because he confessed his faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to do that this morning. Put your faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." You know that you're really in trouble when somebody says those kind of things to you twice. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." There are some pretty tough jobs, aren't there, in the world at the moment? I think I got a picture of Justin Welby on the screen there. I think he's got quite a tough job, wouldn't you say? Particularly at the moment. He must be banging his head on Lambeth Palace door or whatever and thinking, "What have I done? Saying yes to this calling." I think this next guy's got an even tougher job. In fact, I would say he's got an impossible job. I just want to say to any of you here this morning that have got some hope that this is a new dawn for English football, because we've got a proper bloke, haven't we? We like proper bloke in charge of the DA. He says it as it is. Don't be fooled. It will end in tears. We'll all be miserable. And he'll be fired after the next tournament in Russia. And we'll get another foreign coach. That's not prophetic. That's just experience of history, that is. But Jesus gave his disciples this commission to pronounce forgiveness upon people. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. Their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That's a kind of sort of strange thing to say. That surely it's only God who forgives sin. Well, of course it is. But the commission that he was giving to his disciples was, in a sense, in essence, to hold out their hand in forgiveness on behalf of God, in the name of Jesus, and to offer healing forgiveness to a broken world. Because at the root of so much that's wrong in our own lives and so much that's wrong in the world is disharmony and brokenness, and at its root it's to do with fractured relationships. Fundamentally, our fractured relationship with God the Father himself. We're called to offer out our hands to others and say, "Do you know, there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ to be found. There's forgiveness in Jesus Christ." It's an awesome commission. Now, do you think you could do that? Think, "Oh no." Certainly, I think if we all think that we can do it in our own strength, we're quite arrogant, really, and need to go to humility school, if there were such a thing. But Jesus says that this is not a job that you do on your own. Remember, he had breathed his spirit upon his disciples. And when we see in the New Testament, when the Spirit is poured out, at the end of the Gospels, when Jesus begins to talk about the pouring out of the Spirit, the beginning of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is given that the church might witness to its Lord Jesus Christ. The church might tell the world about this God who loves them and gave his Son for them. It's power to witness. Jesus said, Acts 1:8, isn't it? "You shall wait in Jerusalem and you shall receive power. You'll receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." That's why the Holy Spirit's given. It's not for a bless me up. It's not just for a bless me up. God does want to bless us. It's not just so that you fall over in the power of the Spirit, but if that's what God wants to do with you, amen. It's not just so that you can speak in tongues or have gifts and so on. All of those things are great and good. Fundamentally, Jesus gave the Spirit to the church so that it would be a sent church. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, I think what we really need to get into our heads is that there is a world of difference between establishing something, founding something, achieving something. There's a world of difference between that and implementing something. Now, how best to explain? Now, I've got a video clip here that I'll show you, and then perhaps we'll have a talk about it afterwards. Hopefully it will work, seeing as you have our gremlins this morning. Please, everybody pray. You pray. There we go. Rock and roll. Anybody know? I wonder how many erudite people know that, what piece of music that was. I know that Margaret Holmes does and Stephen. Anyone else? All right. That's one of the. I absolutely recommend that you listen to Rachmaninoff's Second Piano Concerto. It's amazing. I love quite a lot of. I love all sorts of music. I like quite a lot of rock music and classic rock music. All sorts of things I like. Jethro Tull, things like that. It's just weird. I have very strange taste in music, but I love Rachmaninoff. It'll make you cry if you listen to it. Deeply, deeply passionate music. What about that, the pianist? Did anybody recognise that pianist? Lang Lang, yeah. He's like a global superstar. Lang Lang, his name. He's a Chinese virtuoso pianist. Just incredibly famous, incredibly talented. Actually, his story is quite a sad one, really. He spent his childhood, really, being pretty driven by his father to learn to play the piano in the way that he can play it. He pulls some very strange faces when he plays, but by golly, can't he ever play the piano? It's amazing, and he gets a lot of adulation. The point is this, and you're thinking, what is the point of this particular clip? We can often listen to a piece of music like that and think, isn't that amazing? Look at Lang Lang playing that incredible that piano. He's got mastery over it. Isn't that wonderful? But in a sense, the real genius at play is the one who wrote the piece of music. Rachmaninoff. And Rachmaninoff wrote that piece of music. I think it was first performed in the late 1800s. Maybe the premiere might have been in 1900. And it had come off the back of a really bad period in his life. He'd had a deep depression. And he'd been a bit unsuccessful with his first piano concerto. It was derided and all the critics were rather sniffy about it. Although they all like it now. Funny, isn't it? A bit of success changes things. But the second piano concerto is a monument. It's stunning. And all these great pianists want to play it. And they somehow try to transmit the beauty of what Rachmaninoff has written. The music that we seek to play as Christians is the amazing concerto that God wrote in Jesus Christ. The beautiful gospel music of God's love and desire to make all things new, to change lives, to bring hope and restoration where there is no hope, to bring forgiveness where there's bitterness and anger and sorrow, to bring love where there's complete disharmony and disunity, to bring healing in relationships. God in Jesus Christ wrote this amazing tune that's an eternal tune that says to us that one day he will make all things new, that this world is groaning in eager anticipation for the revelation of what God is going to do through his people. God has a wonderful purpose for you and for his good world. And we are called in our little way to play his tune. That's what it means to be sent. As the Father has sent me, Jesus accomplished all of this at the cross and through the resurrection. I am sending you to play that beautiful tune. And I think all of us can play our little part. Might be just a piccolo, although I imagine a piccolo is very difficult, tricky to play. You need very small fingers, I should imagine. Or you might be a great big double bass. Whatever you are, God has sent you into your workplace, your home, next door to your neighbours, to play the Jesus tune. So what we need to say this morning to him is, Lord, help me to play. Help, give me your spirit that I might be a skillful musician in my community, if you follow the metaphor through. So let's stand together, shall we?